Good morning.
Yes, thank you for Donna, always helping get us ready and prepared for worship as we gather together in the Lord's house. Hey, once again, look around. Give somebody a smile and a wave, a smile that says, I am so glad that you are here today, and I really, really mean that. If you are part of our online viewing audience today, we welcome you as well. And as always, be sure to send a virtual wave or a hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito, who is there. And as always, for our online audience, if you ever have any questions or anything, Dr. John will get you squared away. If he cannot answer your question, he will certainly get the answers that you need, because he's that kind of guy. We're so glad and grateful to be able to have him. And we're glad that you're here today to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. We got a lot of things lined up, scheduled, set out to do today. It's a busy, busy day, but we are so glad to see you here in the house of the Lord. So without any further ado, let me go carry us all to the Lord in prayer, and then Brad's going to come and lead us as we set the tone in worship in song. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you, we once again thank you for this opportunity to be able to gather together. Lord, may we never take for granted the opportunities that we have to be able to come together in the Lord's house with the Lord's people. Lord, to be able to learn from you, to share in one another's burdens, to help out where we can. And Lord, just to do this thing called life together. Father, it's not about us coming to church, but rather about us being the church as you created it, as you would have it to be. So today, Lord, I pray that you will help us in every aspect of our worship service and in everything that we do. Lord, I just pray that it would truly be set as an act of worship today. I pray that our hearts will be prepared, that we will hear you, not just through your word, but Father, in every aspect of our worship today. May you speak to our hearts. May you give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please join me as we sing, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought, number 52, if you want. Thank you. Please stand with me.
Where I be, still 'tis God.
chapter 2, whether you use a printed version, an electronic version, or whatever. I actually use both. You know, part of it, I've told people before, my eyes aren't what they used to be, so I can blow it up on the electronic version. But I still like to have my Bible with me because it's got my notes from days of old and days gone by and simple little thoughts along the way. But we're going to be looking at some passages that come out of there. But last week, I had an opportunity to be over at Southeastern Seminary. I was over there for a conference. And yeah, I had some opportunities around lunchtime to be able to sit down and talk with some of the other pastors over there and listened to some of the topics that that came up. And, you know, one of the things that was a topic of discussion was the fact that these guys were talking about, why is it that in today's society and in today's day and age that the church doesn't have the impact that it used to have? Now, think about that for just a minute. Now, we say that all the time, and even with my age and in my generation, I can remember the influence of the church ran very, very deep with not only the people in the community, but people, you know, within the family. How many of y'all remember that? And you would sit back today and you would say, things are a lot different than they were back when. Remember last week we were talking about the good old days, as it were. So, like true to fashion, a bunch of preachers decide they're going to try to solve that issue around lunch, which was an interesting, interesting conversation. And some of the things that came up in regard to the why. Why is it that the church has so little influence and so little impact on people today? And I just wanted to share with you a couple of things that came up as the why, as it was discussed. And then we want to go back and look at what God's Word says in reference to the church. Because I think that's critical. If we're going to be what God wants us to be today and in society, then why should we not model it from what Christ said the church should be and what the church ought to be? Make sense? Okay? So here were some of the things that came up during that discussion at lunch. Well, one of the pastors said, well, the problem with church today is there are too many spectators. There are too many people who are just watching. Y'all know what a spectator is. I paid my fee, I come in, I sit down, I watch. I'm not an active participant in anything that's going on. I'm going to the ball game, I'm going to be a spectator. I'm not going to play in that ball game, I'm going to watch that ball game. And of course, you know, the guys begin to kick that one around the room a little bit or around the table a little bit and talked about the fact that today, in this day and age, within the church, there are more spectators than there are participators. Now, as we would look around, you have to ask yourself, is that something that I would agree with, or is that something that I would disagree with? Now, don't get me wrong. I am not by any stretch of the imagination trying to set out to say that church is about programs and that we just need to be involved in every program and that the more programs we're involved in, the more spiritual we are. That is not what I'm saying at all. There has to be something to drive that. But we have become a generation, not only in church, but in so many other things, we have become a generation of spectators. Now, too many things get blamed on COVID. I think there's a lot of things that get blamed on COVID that aren't COVID. But yet, COVID was one of those things that gave us permission to be spectators. Amen? And boy, I tell you one thing. Once you've come off the field and you've been in the stands for a while, it's a little hard to go back to the field, isn't it? It's a tough situation. I've talked to people who've said, you know what, I used to do this. Yeah, used to. That's a word where I come from. USTA, used to. I used to be involved in this. I used to do this. I used to do that. Yeah, and if I try real hard, I might still could. That's another one where I come from. But the question is, there has to be something that provides motivation by which to do that. I'm going to get you to tell on yourself this morning. How many of you have ever become unmotivated in something, anything?
That is extremely difficult to do whatever it is when you have a lack of motivation, isn't it? When you are motivated, it's something that drives you to get up and move and to go forward. So, yeah, like a person that's an actor, they would sit back, and I've often heard this say to the actor. The actor would say, well, what's my motivation? Well, let me ask you today, Christian, what is your motivation? Let me ask you, non-Christian, what is your motivation? Let me ask you, church attender, what is your motivation today to be in the house of the Lord? Now, I want you to really consider that for just a minute. You see, a lot of our motivation is that we're creatures of habit. We do things habitually. If I were to say to you, why are you here this morning? Most of you would say, well, that's where I always am on Sunday morning. So I do it out of habit. But the question is, did you come to the house of the Lord today with a sense of anticipation? A sense of excitement to be able to say, you know, I'm glad to be there. I want to hear from the Lord, and I want to be part of the team. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands on this, but some of us, whether you're in this room or whether you're watching online, you know what it feels like to get picked last on the playground. You picking up what I'm putting down? Yeah, there was always that group that was first. I'll take Tommy, I'll take Billy, I'll take Susan, whatever. And then you're sitting there kind of going, yeah, and it's down to the last two. And sometimes you've actually seen the captains argue over the fact that they didn't want to pick you. Hallelujah. Made you feel real welcome and real good, didn't it? Yeah, and then that makes people want to disappear into the fabric. Well, I don't want to play anymore. It beats you down. Let me tell you something. Satan loves to beat you down. Now, by the way, I haven't forgotten about the scripture text, but you've got to understand what I'm trying to say as we get into it. So around that table, we talked about the fact that church today has too many spectators and too few participators. Then another one of the guys said this. He said, there are more people that are interested in the methods rather than the message. Now me, I'm sitting back the whole time going, I agree with the first thought that went around the table, and I agree with the second thought that went around the table, and let me prove that to you. There are a lot of us that have worked before within the church. We have been a part of something. But we have gotten to the point at times where we were doing the right things for the wrong reasons. You ever been there? Why is it that you're teaching that Sunday school class? Why is it that you're singing in the choir? Why is it that you're doing A, B, C, or D? There have been those who sit back and say, well, you know what? I'm not doing that anymore because I don't like it. I'm not doing that because I don't like him, or I don't like her, or I don't like what's taking place or going on. And folks, let me tell you something. Here is something that every one of us have to understand. The method does change. The how we do this changes. You don't think so? Look back at the New Testament church, which we're going to do here in just a minute in Acts chapter 2. Let me tell you what they didn't have. They didn't have sound systems. They didn't have air conditioning. They didn't have carpets and social medias and the finest of all the things. We, in our generation, have more tools to be able to accomplish more for the kingdom of God than any other generation has ever had. Now, you've heard me say this before. When you go car shopping, you don't sit back and say, well, I need a Model T Ford. And if they're not available, I'll look at a Model A. You don't do that. Now, some of y'all would be sitting back going, well, if they had them, I would. Now, don't go getting all nostalgic on me. I like them too. But listen, if I'm talking about your everyday whip, your everyday drive, you are not in the middle of January when the snow's coming down, want to go out and get in a Model T Ford and drive 20 miles an hour to work. Don't tell me that, I know. Listen, I've heard us when the air conditioning's gone out in the church.
Gosh, it's hot. When are we going to get that fixed?
Some of us hadn't sit around the dirt patio in a foreign country and enjoyed worship when there was no air conditioning. I was sitting there one day getting ready to preach, saying, God, would you please just let a little breeze come by? I'm sweating through my clothes, and I didn't have a coat and a tie on. When I walk in here, I say, thank you, Lord. Because it's hot today. Never before have we had the opportunities that we have had. But yet never before has the church of God been as miffed, has been turned around, has been turned in upon themselves than it is today. We are more talking about, you know, what we can do, what our buildings look like, how we do this, how we do that, rather than the message itself. I have watched with my own two eyes churches that have died, the grapes that have died on the vine simply because they forgot who they were. I mentioned to you before that it was told of a church sign where a church was closing. And by the way, I want you to know it is staggering the numbers of churches that are closing every week in America today. And somebody that was wise, when the church shut down, actually put out on the sign, said this, going out of business because we didn't know what our business was. Whew. Wow. It's not about what kind of empire you can build. Let me go ahead and tell you this. You and I cannot build an empire. Only God can do that. And He will only do that when our focus is right. When we sit back and say, you know what? We need to find ways to be able to reach people with the gospel of Christ in this day and age. We don't need to shun the things that we don't like when they're effective. All of us have preferences, don't we? There's a lot of things I like. There's a lot of things I don't like. There are genres of music that I like and that I don't like, and you too. You too. I had a conversation with a person one time that was talking about church music, and they said, well, I think this is what church music ought to be. I said, I think that worship ought to be about what it is 24/7, not just what it is for an hour on Sunday morning. And they said, I agree. I said, good, let's go out to your car for a minute. They said, why? I said, because I want to see what radio station you've got on. I want to see what it is that you are playing, because I know you came in here not thinking this was going to be. And I want to see if you've got the Gaithers on, or I want to see if you've got an organ concert happening in your car. I want to hear what you're listening to. No, I will not do that. I said, okay. I said, we have got to be relevant. Do you understand me? We have got to be relevant. How many of you want your children and grandchildren to go to hell? You know, I don't see a single hand. But how many of us are willing to do what it takes to reach them with the gospel message? I didn't say our message, the gospel message. Because here's the one thing we know about the church in Acts. That is the only message we have. And we are going to have to care about those little ones. We're going to have to care about that next generation. Because bottom line is, you and I, we ain't going to be around here much longer. So around the table, one said there was more interest in the methods, the how we do this, rather than the message itself, the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Then there was another one that said this. He said, well, I think that today one of the biggest problems is that the churches are more concerned about public image. There was a day in my life when I would have said, I don't buy that. But I know exactly what he's talking about when he said that now. We're more concerned that we might offend somebody with the gospel message. We're more concerned about how many people walk in the door and how much money goes in that offering plate. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. It is important. It takes money even to do ministry. But the most important thing is this. When we do what God has called us to do, last time I checked, and if I'm wrong, you tell me. But last time I checked, God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Listen, I've watched God do some incredible things in this congregation when we were faithful to Him. I've watched people walk in and say, listen, man, I really appreciate what you did, you know, for the kids of the community. Here's $100,000. I've seen that. Not because of who we were, but because who God was. I've seen God do incredible things. Listen, He is not worried about not being able to pay the bill. But yet what we're too afraid in today's society that we're going to offend somebody. Now, I want to say this before I move past that particular point. The gospel, are you listening to me? The gospel is offensive to a society, a lost and dying the world. The gospel is going to be offensive because it confronts you with your sin. We just got guys that don't have any backbone anymore. We got pastors that don't have backbone anymore. We've got churches that don't have backbone anymore. I'd rather go down the drain standing on the promises of God than to have the most successful church in the whole world that doesn't follow the gospel, that doesn't preach the gospel. Because last time I checked, I'm going to be with God a whole lot longer than I'm going to be with anybody on this planet. I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. And it's getting worse. Listen, there's going to be folks that are going to oppose you and oppress you. And it's going to hurt because it's going to be people you never thought would. If it's not happened to you already, it's coming. But what about the church? Is the church a tower? Is the church a lighthouse? Is the church a stronghold for the gospel? If it's not, then we need to lock the doors and walk away. That was kicked around the table. Too concerned about what people think or say about us today. This was pastors. This one was the real telltale. One guy finally said this, sitting around the table. He said, there's little concern for lost people. Ouch. Ouch. He said, why is the church not what it was in the book of Acts? And he said, because we don't care whether or not people are dying and going to hell anymore. Now, we would sit back and say, well, I don't believe that for one single minute. What are we doing about it? What are we doing to reach people with the gospel message? Listen, you live in a day and an age where you can't just open the doors of the church and say, y'all come and people are going to come. We live in a day and an age where the people who are going to be reached with the gospel of Christ are going to be reached through you, your personal sphere of influence. Yeah, and I'm not even saying to be the person that goes out there every day thumping the Bible at them and all that. I mean, but I think that God's given you a talent and a gift and an ability to be able to share what He's done in your personal life. You have a testimony. You can share that. It is meaningful to other people because God's already set up the divine appointments. The church is not necessarily the place for you to come and be saved. The church is the place for you to come in. It's an emergency room for sinners, and yet we want to make it the hotel penthouse for the saints. People sit back and say, well, there's sinners in that church. And I'm like, yeah? Yeah? There are sinners in my church because I go there. But there's sinners in my church because you go there too. And we need to be reaching out to the ones that nobody else wants to reach out to. And instead, for some odd reason, church in America today turns their back on those people. How dare that person come into the church? You know what they did. Listen, the church is the best place for them to be. If my arm falls off, get me to the hospital and take my arm with me. Put it in some ice. Maybe they can reattach it. But you're going to have to get me to the place where somebody can help me And when a sinner walks through the door of the church, guess what they've done? They have come seeking help from God. And who are we to sit back as the gatekeeper and say, oh, brother, you're in the wrong place? And some of you are going, well, we don't do that. Yeah, we do. We may not say it verbally, but we do that with our actions. We do that with our speech. We do that with our looks. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you do that with somebody comes in, sits down, and you're like, well, what does that say to people? Does that say, I love you and I want to see you in the kingdom of heaven? Absolutely not. You see, folks, if we don't have a burden for lost people, then we should just hang it up. It's not about us just coming here and having a church and being able to meet every Sunday and be solvent. That's not what we're here for. We are here because God has given us a mission. He's given us a mission to go up the street to Camp Caraway and feed kids and give them a shot at it. He's given us a mission to get on an airplane and to go over to Cuba into a place that scares people to death and preach the gospel message. He's given us that. And when we've been faithful, I have watched God do incredible things. And people say, well, how's going to Cuba helping your church? I said, you know what? I don't know, but it seems like every time we do, God blesses us here for what took place over there. I remind you again, I haven't forgotten the scripture text. I'm still getting there. Don't worry, David, I'm not going over. I'm going to be short. So that was the conversation around the table. You go back and you look at the New Testament church in the book of Acts, and what you find about it is that it was dynamic. That's a big word, isn't it? It was dynamic. Man, the church was on the go. It had so many things going. So what was it that made the difference in the New Testament church that we don't see in our society today? Look with me, if you would, at the book of Acts chapter 2. Beginning with verse 41. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 41. It's talking about the church. It says, those who, what is that word? Gladly. That's important. Verse 41, those who gladly received his word were baptized. In other words, they followed the step of obedience. That's the first act of obedience as a believer who has given their heart to the Lord, is to follow in believer's baptism. That is your public profession of faith. Now, church people, I want you to hear me out and understand me on this. We always talk about when somebody walks down the aisle and they talk with the preacher and say, well, they made a public profession of faith. No, that is not a public profession of faith. When they go through the waters of baptism, that is a public profession of faith. Now, I have to put this caveat in there as well. Baptism doesn't save you. Remember, baptism is an act of obedience following salvation. Baptism is not what saves you, but baptism is your public profession of faith. Everybody got me on that? I don't care how many, if you haven't trusted Jesus, all you've done is gotten wet. I don't care if you're baptized every Sunday. It's not going to put you any closer to heaven without Jesus. But see, that's a picture. Baptism is that picture. It says that you're crucified with him, buried with him, raised in the likeness of his image. It's a public profession of faith. Now go back to the church. It says those who gladly received his word, verse 41, were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added unto them. That day. Could you imagine if 3,000 people walked into this place right now? We would have a problem, wouldn't we? Be a good problem. Choir would get real big. Band would get real big. Sunday school classes would get real big. Discipleship groups would become huge. They added about 3,000 that day. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Do you realize what was going on? As they were obedient, God blessed them in such a fashion that there were miraculous things that were taking place in their midst. The things that you go, don't know how it happened. God did it. And it says in verse 44, now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone who had need. Lord, have mercy, what a benevolence team. If somebody had a need, the others were there to meet that need. Not begrudgingly, not selfishly, not, I'll tell you one thing, if they would just quit being lazy and get up and go out there, then they wouldn't have those needs. So because they're lazy, I'm not going to help out. No, that's not the way it was going. You see, because they loved one another. You watch. You get in an atmosphere where you are loved and where love is. Man, I'm going to tell you one thing. I understand the passage that says love conquers all. Love is not blind. Love sees more. Therefore, it's willing to see less. That was what was going on in the church. You don't see that today. And it says not only that, it got personal. In verse 45, it said they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as many as had a need. In other words, if somebody had a need and I could meet that need, well, okay, I'll go sell this and I'll help them meet that need. And they didn't do that expecting God to do something incredible for them. They did that, here, you ready for this? Because they love those people. You don't mind doing that for people you love, do you? When somebody that you love is in need and you can meet that need, you do it and you don't think twice about it, just like your kids. When you know that there's a genuine need, how does it feel when you can step up and say, don't worry about that, I got you? And then you say, thank you, Lord, for providing whatever resource needed to be able to help that person. Now, see, a lot of people would say, well, that's easy to do with family. What about somebody who's not family? Well, last time I checked, if you are a born-again believer, then you are in the family. You are a brother or you are a sister. Now, there's people you sitting there going, I ain't going to give my sister money. I'm not going to give my brother money. I'm not going to help him with this. A lot of times it's not even about cash. It's about time. It's about using your talent there. It's about going over and helping somebody fix something or do something or get ready. How many times have people just cried because God showed up through one of his children to meet a need? Listen, there are people in this room that do that. I know that. I've seen you. I call you church mice. You try to work behind the scenes where nobody knows and nobody sees except God. But listen, you're seen by the Father. I'm not going to say who you are because then you're sitting there going, don't say it because it's going to rob me of a blessing. I am not looking to rob nobody of blessings today. But verse 44 said this, now all who believed were together and had all things in common. They had the right mind. They had the mind of the Lord as they went forward. It says they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as many as had need. Now, you are sitting back saying, this is not even talking about a spiritual side of things. This is talking about a materialistic side of things that all of us in America today seem to get hung up on. All that preacher wants is my money. No, I don't want your money. I don't need your money. I have God, and God has all your money. If he wants us to have it, he'll bring it here. He'll bring it through you. It's not about that. It's about wanting to see God bless you because you've been faithful to him. That's what we want to see. Because, see, the more faithful you are to him, then the more ministry we can do. The more faithful you are to him, the more things that we can bring about, ways in which we can share the gospel. I'm not interested in planting flowers down at the elementary school. Don't get me wrong, I love the elementary school. I love her people. That's not missions to me. That's not sharing the gospel message with somebody. That's wasting God's money. And some of y'all are going to be going, oh Lord, man, there's going to be some blowback on that one now. Yeah, there might be. But the bottom line is, tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me where I'm wrong in that. It's time that we started being what God called us to be as the church, not just here in America, but also the whole world. And then it says this, so verse 46, so continuing weekly for an hour. Oh, wait a minute, excuse me, weekly for 2 hours. Weekly for 3 hours? Y'all help me out here. It's right here in big, bold letters. So continuing daily. Daily. Being a born-again believer is not a Sunday thing. It's not about coming to church. It's about being the church. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. I love that latter part, and I think that is one of the keys to the church today, getting back to the way the church is that the Lord created it, and it's that very last phrase in there. It says, they ate their food with gladness and what? Simplicity. The gospel is not complicated. Church should not be complicated. Worship should not be complicated. It should come natural. It should be simple. It should be so simple that a child can understand it. I'm not going to go over to the preschool or elementary areas and say, children, sit down for just a moment. We're going to parse some Greek vowels and or some Greek phrases, and we're going to teach you what salvation is all about. Them little kids are, man, give me a juice box and let me play. That was me. I want to make it simple. I want to make the gospel so simple that the smallest child can understand and give their heart to Jesus Christ. I have sat at that table with a bunch of people that were a lot smarter than me. I couldn't even understand some of their general conversation. They used words that I don't even know. And some people try to do that. They're like, well, brother, where are you from? I said, well, I preach over at Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Oh, yes? Well, where did you go to seminary? And I said, well, I tell you what. I said, I just put it to you this way. All I am is a country plowboy in the midst of all this greatness. But I prefer it that way. I like simple. How about you? The older I get, the more simple I want to be. The older I get, the less stuff I want. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all spent your whole life collecting stuff all the way up to the point where now you got so much stuff you don't know what to do with it. You don't think so? Try to move. It'd take 97 tractor-trailer trucks to move all your junk. The attic's full, the basement's full, the sheds are full. And we just hold stuff. We like stuff. Junk. What Jesus tell his disciples? I want you to go, and I don't even want you to take no food with you. I don't want you to pack a suitcase. I want you to rely on me for everything that you get. There's a comfort in that, by the way. There really is. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord, get this, the Lord added to the church. You want the best church growth program that there is? Reach people with the gospel of Christ. And not you, but the Lord will add to the church, and he will do it daily, those who were being saved. And some people sit back and go, well, brother, it's just a different day and age. Yes, it is. But let me tell you what I know. I know this, although it's a different day and age, the gospel message has not changed one word. The gospel message is still what reaches out. The gospel message is still what saves. The gospel message is all that we have. It is the only message that we have. And let me tell you what also I know, it's enough. You want to see the church explode in an incredible way? It is time for the American church to stop sitting on the premises and start standing on the promises. It's time for us to quit being spectators. It is time for us to get in the game. I remember those days of the, the sand lots and you showed up and you wanted to play, whether it was a pickup basketball game, whether it was a softball game, or whether it was a football game. You'd go over and you'd kind of stand on the sidelines and you watched a lot of people have fun and hope that one of the boys would say, "Hey, look, man, we got an uneven number. How about you playing some ball over here?" Remember the excitement of that? Remember going home with bruises and scratches and your mama saying, "You got grass stain on these britches?" I remember the days. Y'all remember, how many of y'all ever patched blue jeans? There's my people. Mama's like, "I ain't buying you a new pair of britches. These are fine. We'll just fix these up. You still got a couple more months out of them bad boys." Good days. And she was right. You come back in, you know, you got some big gash on your arm, and, you know, oh, and then they get that methylate out. Where are my methylate people? Ooh. You young people that have never heard of methylate or mercurochrome have never lived. Like us. Whew. Now I have to ask this question. Where are my methylate people? You received it. What did you usually say when mama put that on that cut? Blow on it! Blow on it! Did that really help? It felt like it did. Blow on it! And then you were orange for about 2 weeks. But you know what? You wouldn't trade that experience for anything in the world. Because you were part of something. You were a viable part of the team. You were accepted. You were loved. And you'll take those cuts and bruises any day. You'll take the methylate any day of the week to get back on that field. Folks, that's the way it should be in God's church today. Not, well, let's just see what we can complain about. Let's see what we... Listen, there's a lot of stuff about church you don't like. There's a lot of stuff about church I don't like. But you know what? It's the best thing we got going. And we can be a part of the problem or we can be a part of the solution. Which will we be? All I know is this. I want to see the Lord add to the numbers daily, those who are coming to know Him. How do we do that? Very quickly. Verse 4 tells us, for the sake of time, I'm going to let you, verse 41 of our text, we have to increase our efforts in evangelism. People don't get saved if they don't hear the gospel. And you know what? We, for some odd reason, preachers don't want to talk about the gospel anymore. We don't want to have altar calls anymore. We don't want to share Jesus with people. You know why? Because it might offend somebody. I don't care. I love getting older. That's one thing I really loved about getting older. The older you get, the less you care about what everybody else thinks. You know, I'll wear me a pair of athletic shorts and a pair of boots to go down to the store. Blake might say, "Dad, people are staring." Son, there's something about an air rat, man. I don't care. Here's why. Because the gospel is what saves. And if you don't preach the gospel, nobody's going to get saved. If you don't share your testimony, if you don't share your witness, nobody's going to get saved. And we become a big social club. We need to increase our efforts in evangelism. The church was wonderful in its worship. It's worship. When we come together and we sing from the heart. When we come together and we give from the heart. When we come together and gather around the Word, we do so with anticipation. The worship was incredible in the early church, and they didn't have all the stuff we had. The early church was fantastic in its fellowship, as we've already read. Fellowship is a great thing. I still remember being at a Sunday school conference when I was in undergraduate school. And a guy asked Elmer Towns, who used to be called Mr. Sunday School, what he felt like the most critical time in Sunday school was. You know what Elmer Towns said? The 10 minutes before and the 10 minutes after. Because of the fellowship. It's what brings you together. It's what binds you together. It's small groups are cool. If you're not a part of one, you need to be one. We're getting ready to launch some. You need to be a part of that. You'll come close, you'll learn, you'll grow. They had a dynamic fellowship. They didn't just blow in and blow out. They came together. They fellowshiped. And I'll tell you one thing, it scares me today. I don't understand how somebody can sit at the same table or sit on the same couch and text one another instead of talking to one another. That drives me insane. Who are you texting? Him? What? I said something to someone. I said, let me tell you what happened. I said, put them things down and talk to each other. I said, because if not, if you don't, then I'm going to think you're talking about me and I'm going to get mad. That's when people text each other, when they're talking about somebody that's with them. And I had somebody say, no, that's not the case. This is just how we communicate today. And I'm like, thank God I grew up when I didn't have cell phones and computers and we played in the dirt and we swam in the river. I am glad that I'm a product of a different generation. God help y'all. We're praying for you. Scares me a little bit because y'all going to be the ones taking care of me when I'm in a nursing home. But nonetheless, don't text it in. Come in and talk to me. We've got to communicate with each other. We'll do that if we care. The testimony of the church is found in verse 47. It had favor with all people. The public notice of it grew daily. People were seeing that something was taking place and something was going on. And here's the great part. They wanted to be a part of it. When we become like the New Testament church, then some incredible things happen. People are curious. I'm just going to say it outright because you all know what I'm getting ready to say. People are not just curious, they're nosy. How many of my self-admitted nosy people? You see my hand? Oh, look, man, listen, if there's a cop car in the neighborhood, you are peeking out the blinds. If the fire truck goes down, you are looking. We're nosy by nature. That's just the way we are. And if something big is going on, we want to go see what's taking place. You let a movement of God get started in this church, people will come out of curiosity. Because we're nosy. I'm nosy. I admit it. The quicker you admit it, the better off you are. I'll chase a fire truck to see where it's going. Make sure it's not one of y'all. I'll chase a police car because, hey, bringing back old memories. Well, the lead's getting ready to fly around here. Well, I'll hide behind the engine block. I want to see how this barricade situation is going to do. We do that. How about let's get to the point where there is such incredible things going on in the house of the Lord in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, that people will come and see. Y'all remember back a couple of months ago, the big prayer revival that took place on the college campus up north? You remember that? Do you realize that there were people who came from around the world to be a part of that? They wanted to see what was going on. That can happen right here. Jesus changed the world with 12. There's more than 12 people in this sanctuary. But we're going to have to be dedicated. We're going to have to be about His business, not ours. I believe that's coming. I believe there's a little cloud on the horizon about the size of a man's hand. Get the chariots up. Get them out of the valley. Ahab, here comes the rain. Hadn't rained in 7 years. The rain's coming. Are you ready for the rain? Oh, but you see, it's only going to happen if you're a part of it because you're the team. Brad, you guys, come on up. We're getting ready to have our invitation hymn. And here's the thing I want you to know and understand. You can't play if you can't field a team. The tragedy is too many churches today don't have enough players to field a team. Oh, the stands are full, but we can't field a team. Well, by the way, if you can't field a team, what are the spectators going to look at? I don't know about you. I want to play as long as I can. Until the Lord says otherwise, I want to get out there and I want to play. I still watch a show that some of y'all remember. Remember Barney Miller? Anybody remember that show, Barney Miller? It still comes on one of the old TV stations, but y'all remember Fish, Sergeant Fish? I liked him. They were forcing him to retire, and he said there comes a point and a time when, you know, man has to realize his limitations, and there's a younger generation that's ready to step in and take over. He says, I'm not willing to do that. That's me. As long as God gives me life and breath, we haven't paid our dues. So let me ask you this, first of all, most critical question. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? Is He your King? That's the most critical question. Have you received the gospel message? That is salvation. It's not church attendance. It's knowing Him, walking with Him, having that personal relationship. Have you trusted Him? If not, I don't even want you to wait till the invitation starts. I don't want you to wait to talk to the preacher. I want you to stop what you're doing right now and your prayer attitude. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Come into my life and save my soul. Help me, Lord, from here to follow You in Jesus' name. Now, if you meant that with all of your heart, you just cried out to the Father. He has heard your prayer and He has saved your soul. That's just the beginning step. He wants you to be part of the family. He wants you to walk with Him and talk with Him. And He's the friend that sticks closer than even a brother. Wow. Let us help you begin that relationship. Well, we're not going to pound. Listen, to me, if it's boring, you're not doing it right. Christ should be exciting. Bible study and discipleship should be exciting. I mean, I wouldn't want to come in and listen to a Ben Stein type person. Okay, turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to talk about the joy of the church. Huh? But see, we are walking, talking examples of Jesus. What do people see in us? What has He said to you today about your place? And don't tell me you don't have a place in the church. You have a place in the church if you're a believer. What is it that God's gifted you and talented you to do? It's not going to be something that's difficult. It should be something that you love to do. I mean, do you think that our dearly departed JC, you know, would sit back and go, I just don't want to shake hands or greet anybody today? No. In fact, he'd be sitting there saying, somebody help me up, man. My hip's locked up, and I got to get over there and see that person. They're new. That's because that's what he loved to do. Wasn't a burden. It was a talent that he exercised as long as God gave him life and breath. And as much as two weeks before he passed away, he was still in here greeting people, shaking hands, and giving you a smile. Whew. What a legacy. What a testimony. What kind of legacy or testimony are we leaving? Would our shoes be hard to fill? Listen, if you're a griper and a complainer, your shoes are not hard to fill at all. There's a ton of people waiting in line for that. But if you're serving the Lord, you're filling that role, you're in the game, you're extremely valuable to the kingdom and to the church. Where do you stand? How do we solve the problems that we talked about around the table at Southeastern Seminary a week ago? What'll it be? Where are you? Listen, I still believe in an old-fashioned altar call. That's another thing. They're like, you do what? Well, Lord, yes. God forbid we call people to be saved. Yeah, I'll be up here. Listen, if you need Jesus, I want you to come talk to me when this organ starts to play and everybody starts singing, just like good old-fashioned church. Come down and say, preacher, here's some of the best things I've heard. Preacher, I'm messed up. I'm just all messed up, and I need Jesus. Cool. We can deal with that. What's He put on your heart today? Listen, sometimes you just need a good old place to lay your burdens down where the altar swept clean every day. Would you take Jesus up on that today? If you need me, I'm here. If you need this altar, it is here. We're going to be singing hymn number 275. But I pray that you're singing it with heart rather than simply lips. I surrender all. Have you truly surrendered to Jesus? Your whole life, are you following Him? Would you stand with me as we sing? You respond to the Lord. I'm here. The altar's here as Brad leads us. Thank you.
doing with the Father today. Don't let the moment of conviction on your heart escape you, no matter what it is that the Father has said to you today. You deal with it so that you leave this place differently than when you came in. That you leave this place with peace in your heart, with a new sense of mission to be exactly what God wants you to be. Not because of who you are, not even because of who we are as the church, but because of who He is and what the kingdom is all about. As you continue to do business with God, I'm going to ask our ushers to come as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Many blessings financially that you give us, and Lord, that we overlook. Lord, I pray right now that you will help us to be faithful to return to you the tithe and to offer the offering, that your word may go forward. And Lord, I pray that we will do so not because what you will do for us, but Lord, that we will take you up on the promise that you will open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing that we can't even imagine if we're faithful with the tithe and faithful with what you've given to us. So bless this offering, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Christ alone, man, what a great, great song. Just give you a couple things. We'll get you on out of here today. Hopefully you'll stick around. I'll tell you why here in just a second. But at any rate, this guy, as far as birthdays, we got one coming up on Friday. The guy right there walking down, Mike Harrell. If you get a chance, yeah, hug his neck and let him know that you appreciate him, all he does around here. Mike's got a birthday this coming Friday. And then as far as anniversaries, we only have one this week. That'll be Daphne and Chris Sawyer spending another year in marital bliss together. So just remember those folks this week. If you get a chance, let them know how much you love them and appreciate them and be praying for them. A couple of things, items of interest for today. We are required by corporate articles of incorporation. I think that's the word I'm looking for. To have an annual corporate business meeting. That is going to take place pretty much right after I pray. We'll give you time to go, use the bathroom and then come on back. I'll let you know here in just a minute, but David will kick us off as our moderator very shortly afterwards. Don't have a ton of things going on. I encourage you as a member to be able to stay and vote. The vote also is going to be on removing interim from Brad's name. And actually calling him as our part-time minister of music. There we go. I'll get it straight in a minute.
So if you want, you can hang around for the business meeting, or you can leave when it comes time to vote. I'll throw you on out. So that way, I know how it is. You just feel uncomfortable in those kind of things. But at any rate, we'll be voting on that, as well as I believe our nominating committee will be making a report as well today, so that we can be ready to start our church fiscal year. Choir practice, 4:45. Today right here, Bible study, 6 o'clock p.m. right here in the sanctuary with David. Band rehearsal, 7 p.m. Immediately after Bible study. Wednesday, just as a reminder, there's a men's group that meets at 10 a.m. at the Olympic. There's no agenda or schedule. It's just meet and eat and enjoy the fellowship together. That's the Olympic over in Colfax at 10 o'clock every Wednesday. August, as a reminder, is Camp Carefree Donation Month. If you would like to donate to that cause, you can put it in one of the offering envelopes. You can mark it Camp Carefree. Our group went up there the week of the 4th of July this past year and provided the meals for Camp Carefree. Camp Carefree is the camp that deals with special needs kids. They have different weeks for different things. It's not just special needs. It's also those who have afflictions, like kids that are fighting cancer or other diseases, and they make this an opportunity for them to be able to come and have a camp experience just like any other kids would do. So pray for Camp Carefree. If most people have heard of the Victory Junction Gang Camp, well, Camp Carefree was around a long time before that, and both of them reach out in that manner, and it's right here in our backyard. So pray for them, and be sure to give that their ministry may continue to go forward as well. Next Sunday, we'll be baptizing Amy Crider. What a joy that's going to be. So we'll have some baptism next Sunday. If the Lord has so led you because you haven't been baptized following your salvation experience, let me know. The water will be there. It will be nice and comfortable. We can go ahead and get you obedient to the Father. So just let me know, and we'll make sure that you get taken care of. we do have our church picnic on September the 3rd at Triad Park. The church will be providing hot dogs, hamburgers, buns, and drinks. If you could help us out, well, I think we could use some condiments, desserts, chili, slaw, or any other sides. Sandy, are you taking care of that? Sandy's right back there. Sandy Wave. If you don't know Sandy, if there's something that you might be able to help her bring. Now, listen, we don't need 50 gallons of chili, but we do, because the staff can eat what's not there. But that way, we'll make sure we have enough for everybody. Sandy can let you know. She may say, hey, we have everything that we need. But if you can step up in that, that'd be great. Doesn't cost you anything. We would love to have you come there. If you happen to be a visitor, come on down. It's free. It's free food. I mean, I would go if I was visiting a church and they said, hey, we're having hamburgers. I'm like, I got to eat sometime. Let's go. So that's actually going to be September the 3rd. That's when our picnic's going to be. So, and there is a sign-up sheet back there. The only reason we're wanting you to sign up is so we'll know how many to plan for, because we need to know how much food to buy. So don't leave us hanging. Don't leave us in a lurch. We want you to come. Just let us know so we'll plan properly. Awana will kick off on the 17th of next month. That will be our first day of Awana to start off the new Awana year. So that's September 17th. Still could use some volunteers. You can see Jana or Jimmy. Jimmy's back there. Jimmy can wave. That's Jimmy. If you can help out, listening to little kids read scripture verses or helping them with game time. Man, it's a lot of fun. If that's an area that the Lord can use you and you can help out, we would love to have you, because we stress out our leaders every year big time. By the end of the year, I think they're about ready to die. And I love it. They all quit at the end of the year, but then they start right back up at the start of the next year because they know how important it is. So see Jimmy or Jana if you can help out with that. Ladies Beach Trip, October the 5th through 8th. You still have an opening? One opening for the Ladies Beach Trip, October the 5th through 8th. If you want to fill that slot, you can see Miss Marcia. She's sitting right there in the green top, right in front of the soundboard, and she will get you signed up and ready to go. Those ladies always have a ton of fun, okay? Now, here's what we're going to do. She's looking like high noon back there, David. What time? Building and grounds meeting today, 3:30 at the Family Life Center. Thank you for the point there, Tim. So if you're on building and grounds, please meet 3:30, Family Life Center choir room. What time you want to? 10 minutes. That'll give you time.
to actually go to the bathroom if you need to. And I do want to remind you, folks, there are other restrooms over in the gym over there. There's men's and women's, and there's several more places so that you don't have to stand there in line, because I know we're singles back here, but we want you to stay. This is an important meeting. This is our annual corporate business meeting, as well as getting our nominating report approved to start our new church year, which is coming along next month, right? It's next month. We actually start at the beginning of the month. So hang around for about 10 minutes. It's not going to take that long. I promise you the crowds will start to be dying down by the time you get to lunch, and that way you won't have to wait. Let me pray. Or David, you come on up if you've got anything, and then you dismiss us in prayer, and then we'll move into our conference in 10 minutes.
Sunday immediately following the morning worship service. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of being in your house, God, for the challenge that has been placed before us, Lord, that we need to make reaching people and loving people the priority in our church. God, help us to do that. Father, bless us as we go into this business meeting. Have your will and your way in every heart and life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.